Entertained a motion to come out of executive session to regular session?
So moved, Mr. President.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. We're now back in regular session. Mr. Moore, any possible action on executive session items?
Yes, Mr. President. Council went into executive session on two matters, and the first one was in reference to land acquisition. So I think it would be appropriate for someone to make a motion that I move that council grant Todd Lawson, Sussex County Administrator, the authority to negotiate a contract for purchase of certain properties known as 2016-9 to enter into a contract of purchase and sale and to proceed on closing on the properties.
I will do that, Mr.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
IBS, motion carried. Mr. Moore?
And the second issue that was discussed was pending litigation. And I think that it would be appropriate to have a motion as a result. Upon receipt of advice from legal counsel, I move that the council not pursue an appeal of the Delaware Court of Chancery decision in TD Rehoboth LLC and Overbrook Acres LLC versus Sussex County Council, and that council schedule a new hearing in accordance with the order entered on September 1, 2017. So that's just stating, number one, that during this 30-day period of appeal, the council's opted not to appeal. Then after that, after a request is made by the appellee to have a hearing, that it would be scheduled in the ordinary course.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
IBS, motion carried. Thank you all. Mr. Moore, now time for public hearings.
Yes, at this time, Mr. President, I'm going to read the rules of procedure for the council zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. Then there will be no rebuttal by the applicant and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. The applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that prior speakers already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. The first hearing today, Mr. President, is a hearing on behalf of Conditional Use 2091, filed on behalf of William Hall. Ms. Cornwell?
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a contracting office with storage of vehicles to be located in a certain parcel of land lying and being in Nanticoke 100, Sussex County, containing 4.13 acres more or less, located on the southeast corner of Hudson Lane and Raccoon Ditch Road. The tax parcel is District 231, Map 11, Parcel 17. The 911 address is 17865 Hudson Lane, Georgetown. The Planning Commission did hold a public hearing on August 10th. At that meeting, we had a number of information provided into the record. At their meeting on August 24th, the Planning Commission did recommend approval of the conditional use 2091 for reasons 1 through 5 with conditions A through O. Since that time, we've received additional letters in opposition, one from John and Barbara Lowe, one from Alexander Kansik, and one from Terry Kansik, and they also submitted additional photos, and those were all provided to council through email. Thank you.
Any questions from council? If not, would the applicant come forward, please, and present your application?
Hi, I'm William Hall. I'm the one applying. We're a small striping company. We have 4 employees that come there every day and leave their vehicles and leave with work trucks. We're small, like I said, we do have 4 employees, but we don't have a lot of income. We're just trying to support our family.
Is the work done on the premises themselves?
No, it's not. We don't have any clients that come to the job. We don't have any. We're not requesting any signage. The only work that would be done is, you know, like maybe maintenance of the trucks or anything like that. You know, we'd have to work on equipment. But on a normal everyday basis, they leave at around 7 o'clock in the morning and they come in from 3 till 6 o'clock at night.
Approximately how many vehicles do you have come in a night per day?
There would be 4 employees' trucks, and then they usually leave in 2 of the work trucks, and it varies. You know, we have 4 work trucks that are there parked there, sometimes 5. So certain trucks are taken for certain days.
How many vehicles are parked on the property?
Including employees' vehicles?
Uh-huh. All the vehicles that's on that property, total.
Okay, so that would be our 3 personal, 4 employees. So that's 7, and then 5 work trucks.
12.
So 12.
I went out to the site, and I just couldn't tell what was going on, what was where. I just couldn't figure it out, right?
Okay.
And there were snow plows in various locations. There was trucks in the back and trucks over here. And I just didn't know where the yard was, where the office was, where anything was.
Well, we don't really have an office. We work out of our house. And the employees seem to park in the front yard. If there's a stipulation with that, I have no issue if we had to move them back to where the work trucks are. I have no problem with that. It's just where they've always parked.
When you say the work trucks, are you talking about the almost looks like abandoned trucks in the far back?
I don't think there is 2 trucks that sit way back in the field. I don't even know if it's on my property. It might be my father's property, but all the rest of the trucks that line up there are we use on a daily basis.
Okay.
Ms. Cornwell, can you bring this site up on Google Earth to see what's sitting there now?
Will this aerial work? And I can zoom out, and this is the current property.
Okay. Is that what zoom in you can do?
And how current are these pictures? Are these satellite pictures? Are these current, would you say? Or?
2012, I think, is
This is a 2012 picture that we're looking at?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Well, never mind. That's 5 years ago. Okay, never mind. Never mind. Forget my request.
There might be a 2015 aerial as well. I do not have...
Well, somebody sent us pictures.
Yes.
And the top says Google 217.
We don't... our web mapping doesn't use it, but let me see if I can get to... If we have...
Do you have those pictures in the file, though? We pass them down.
Yeah, and they were all emailed.
Yeah, we
Let me just... I just want to look them in.
So that's from our mapping system, but we may be able to get Google Earth current, the most recent...
Maybe we should start using Google Maps.
We don't have an IT person.
Would there be any way to get everything together on that site?
There would be.
Fence it in? I got confused going down that lane.
We tried to park that enclosed trailer, which is not actually for work. It's for personal. We have our storage or stuff in there right now, but I can move everything behind that. I tried to make that as a wall because, you know, obviously we had received, you know, they were complaining. And so we tried to clean things up and move everything behind the wall. But yes, I could make it to where, you know, everything could be behind that enclosed trailer and our trailer as a house.
And that would be the snow plows and
correct.
All the other stuff. Would you be able to fence that area in?
You could. I couldn't fence the front because they park right to the driveway. You know what I mean? So, like, you pull off the driveway and it's all one big open one-piece lot. I could fence it off from the road, maybe, I think is the only option, you know what I mean, so it can't be seen. And none of the neighbors on the driveway have complained in any of their letters or anything. They all recommended it, so I don't...
Where is the actual stuff?
Okay.
All over the place, it looks like.
So the house is right here. There's a new trailer that's parked right here. Well, it's not new, but it moved. It used to be out front. So, and then we keep all our work vehicles here, and then the employees park their four cars right there. But I could, you know, there's a ditch line. I think Butch doesn't want me to go past that ditch line that's, like, right through here. So I could put the employees on the other side of the work trucks right there. Would be the only option.
Ms. Cornwell, can you bring that in closer?
When you're saying trailer, you don't mean mobile home type trailer. You mean just a work trailer.
It's an enclosed trailer that we keep where we moved here from. We had a house in Virginia. I've always lived here, but my wife moved here with me. And we have all our overflow stuff because we lived in a bigger house. So.
But I mean, it's not a manufactured home type trailer.
No.
It's not a living.
Correct. It would be something
an RV.
You could put.
It's a trailer that's enclosed trailer.
Correct.
An equipment trailer.
Yes.
Equipment trailer, I got it. Is this part of a, you know, is this like Hudson Lane and everything? Is it a subdivision? Was it, how was it laid out?
It was part of a minor subdivision.
It's part of a minor subdivision?
Yes.
And so somebody strips some stuff off the highway, right?
Yes.
No restrictions?
That I am aware of.
Did we search?
We don't enforce private deed restrictions.
I understand it, but are we aware of any?
I am not aware of any private deed restrictions regarding businesses on the property.
Because most people, when they strip off stuff, they do put in some deed restrictions typically on these things. But do we, are you aware of any deed restrictions on your...
No,
your
the Hudsons, Keith and... Bryce, they actually work for the town, both of them. So they bought it originally, and I bought mine off of Bryce or Keith, who was the front part, and Bryce owned the back part in the back. So they were two brothers when it was originally done. I doubt they put anything in. Mm-hmm. And it was done, I would say, early 70s.
Mm-hmm. So Janelle, what is the actual size of this property that he owns? Does our county map show that again?
I think it's 4.13 acres is what it shows.
Yeah, the legal description that came with the application is 4.13 acres.
So it stops how far back? Hudson Lane back in the back?
Yes, there's a good bit of, that's only, what you're showing is about, well, maybe two-thirds to the end. Where our cutoff is, there's almost that much back behind us.
So if you remember from the Google, there's the pond back here and the property line goes all the way back here.
What can be done to get everything all together? I mean, it just seems like it's all over the place.
Everything could be condensed in that one area. You know, we try to condense all the snow plows in the back, but there's, you know, there is some stuff in the front yard that needs to be picked up. But most of that is all personal. There's an old truck out in front that's mine. As far, I think there's a pile of metal in front of the barn that can be picked up.
Well, you know, with this application coming, didn't you actually think that maybe you should have cleaned up the site to try to get approval? Because I'm reading what the neighbors have said, and they said there's 23 pieces of equipment. And this is from the Planning and Zoning's remarks or something. And piles of trash on site. They burn trash. There are derelict vehicles, traffic problems, delivery trucks, smell of diesel, you know, and all this other stuff. Knowing that you've got people complaining about you, is there any thought in your mind that you maybe... maybe you might have been proactive and
I think,
like he's trying to say is get this place. Most businesses try to look presentable, typically.
We try. I'll tell you that we didn't do the best at it getting it cleaned up. We're been kind of chasing our tail right now, but with work. But I think a lot of the complaints were not, I mean, the smell of diesel. We don't have any diesel tanks or anything like that around there. And there was a lot of claims that I don't think were 100% true.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind this, and earlier today we had some old business. The agricultural residential district is a residential district, and you're trying to run a business in a residential district.
I understand.
So it's very, the bar should be very high for us to permit that to occur. And it seems like the bar is kind of low. You know, disregard for, like I said, that you're in a residential zone. Did you get violated, I guess? Did they get violated? Does that help?
We received a complaint, and that is why they are here.
Everything's kind of complaint-driven in this county.
Sure.
So you got caught.
We have no problems with cleaning things up and keeping them cleaned up. I explained to the council before. And they said some stipulations. I had no issues with making sure that we didn't have any materials sitting outside. As far as snow plows and stuff like that, we can keep it in an organized fashion.
Well, I think many, many times we see applications that end up, you have a fenced in area, buffered from, you know, visual site key places, and which is expensive to do sometimes.
Yeah, it would be a large fenced in area for us. Just,
yeah.
Mr. President, real quick.
Yes, sir.
The Planning and Zoning's recommendations, I know you've mentioned that you don't have any issues with them and that you can honor them. Have you made any improvements today towards those?
No, I wasn't able to make the meeting, so my wife took notes. Okay. And we had some salt and stuff sitting outside, so we put that inside the shop. Any bulk materials, one of their things was bulk materials, so we made sure we got those into the and they were talking about enclosing a dumpster. I just need to know what they were looking for.
Okay. I ask because, I mean, in the end, you know, we obviously want it to be a pro, quote-unquote, business community. At the same time, as Councilman Cole mentioned, you do live in an agricultural residential area. So along with that, it's important to, to be a good neighbor, I guess you could say. So
we try.
The best, well, you're going to have to do better than try.
I agree.
I mean,
it sounds like
you're going to have to do better than try because, you know, if the council
haven't
approves.
Tried very hard, it appears.
So
it was a lot messier. We did pick it up, and like I said, there's no one on the actual. The drives on the driveway that goes down the driveway, it's complaining about this.
I mean, the point,
but
though.
But he's got a right to. I mean, to be honest with you, you're in violation, he's not. So
sure.
That's the problem.
The point, though, is that, you know, if there's conditions that are specified here in the approval, you have to do them. I mean, and the neighbors, of course, will be the watchdogs,
yes,
as you know. So and that's part of the being a good neighbor and being responsible, I would say, as a business owner, is doing your part, yes, of the process. Okay.
Yeah. So you understand, too, if the council were to grant this, there is another step. You would have to have a final site plan and all these conditions. For example, it stated a fence had to be along that roadway. Certain items moved in certain locations, they would have to be shown on that site plan. And one of the conditions was that failure to comply would be grounds for termination of the conditional use.
Yes.
So you would have to show that in detail, all the conditions, not only what planning and zoning did. If the council elected to grant the approval, they may amend some of these conditions. Whatever the final ones are, you would have to do that.
Okay.
Any other questions from council?
Who lives all the way back in that roof? Goes back there.
James Smith, he's a state trooper, and then Bryce Hudson.
Hudson lives back there.
Mm-hmm.
We can just push the driveway out when he gets through it when it snows.
I do. I try to take care of the driveway. We also grade it all the way from front to back, even when we don't traffic, just to try to.
Is Hudson complain or?
Complain?
Is there any complaints from the ones that live back here in the back?
No.
They all come through the same route, huh?
Correct.
Seems kind of funny. Looks like they do their complaining, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's my argument, that everybody that has to ride by it and look at it every day, because if people go by the road, you can't really see anything, you know, out on the main street.
Any other questions from council? If not, is there anyone else here today that would like, did you have anything else to add?
No, I don't.
I do have a quick question. You mentioned earlier President Vincent had asked the question. I think you gave the answer. I believe it was 12 vehicles all in all?
12, correct.
Okay. Item number L specifies that there's not going to be any more than 10 vehicles on the site at any one time.
Is that work and?
That's total.
Total.
Okay.
So I'll read it out loud here. Item number L says, there shall be no more than, these are conditions that were approved previously with the Planning and Zoning Commission. There shall be no more than 10 vehicles on the site at any one time. Also, no junked, inoperable, or untitled vehicles shall be located on the site. Is that a condition that you can, I mean, feasibility. I mean, really, as a business owner, you guys live there too. So is that something that you could even?
10 would be hard. I guess at the end of the day, if that's what my stipulations are, then I have to work with it. 12 would be more feasible.
So could you re-explain one more time the number of vehicles and how are they currently allocated?
Sure. That would be 4 employees' vehicles.
And each has one vehicle?
Correct.
Okay.
That would be 3. We have 3 personal ourselves. And then 5 work vehicles.
5 work vehicles.
Correct.
Beyond the 4 that the employees have.
That's the 5 that our company owns that leaves on a daily basis to go out and work.
I got you.
They're all tagged, correct?
Correct.
So I guess the 4 is their personal cars. Is that what that means?
Correct.
Okay. Got it. So it's they drive to the property.
Correct.
They park their personal, and then they jump in one of the 5
correct
work vehicles.
Correct.
So I guess in theory, really, it's you have less than 12 because there's not.
That's what I consider, that it wasn't all those. You know, there wouldn't. I guess, you know, if they call them at the right 7.
So 5 and 3 is really what's parked there all the time.
Correct.
It's 8.
8
is the correct answer, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's what's parked there all the time. Yes.
So 10 is something that you think that you could.
Yes, 10, we 10 is a fair number, counting it like that.
Okay. Just clarifying what that means.
No, it's good to be clear.
Okay. All right. So 10 is something that you can can live with. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Did you have anything else to add?
I do not.
Okay. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? You'll come forward, please.
My name is Terry Kansack, and I live at 23141 Raccoon Ditch Road, which is the property here. This one here. So we are actually directly through the woods from the site. And I do have a couple of different documents. I do have pictures that might help. I did make copies from the person, but I'll hold on to one copy.
We can pass them down.
I can share.
I'll just hold on to one copy just to briefly go through. And this is the Word document that you received, just in case you didn't have a chance to review it. So you can see some work vehicles in the first page, fuel tanks, salt spreaders, and things of that sort, and then, of course, pallets. And then on the second page, more trucks. And I think in your tally that you made of the vehicles, you haven't included the three, I believe it is, junk vehicles. So that's there. And then some additional views with equipment number 5 and number 6 on the next page. You can see the fuel tanks there. There's also tractors, and I guess one of the questions I have is, what is a vehicle? Are we just talking cars and trucks? Or do tractors and front-end loaders and all of those kind of things, roll-up trucks, count as vehicles as well? Then you can see on the next page some additional vehicles. The brother-in-law's house is our brother-in-law. That would be the Knopfs, and they're at the property identified as number 16 here. And so they actually access their property from Hudson Lane and do see it every day. The next one, item number 8, is additional equipment. And you can see in the background on that picture the unfinished garage that I'll be mentioning. And then we have a view of basically what we're seeing here, kind of identifying the different roads, the construction site, which is what we're terming this place, our home, the Knopf home, and the Lowe's home, because they're mentioned in my letters. The next page has a long-range view, because I think, you know, one of the main issues that we have in the neighborhood is that this is not just a residential area. This is a very preserved area. And so that image that you see there kind of shows you where Hudson Lane is, and also shows that it in the areas for miles around, there is nothing but timberland that has been handed over for state recreational rights. There's Redden Forest parcels, a tunnel, and bark tracks, I believe it is. And then agricultural land, Baxter's farmland, which is not receiving the tax break for preservation, but his items are, you know, in farm preservation. The next page is the Google Earth, and it is from May. And the other image that you had there, but we have zoomed in. And so what you can see is the vehicles, number of vehicles, the junk vehicles, the burning pile, the trash piles, and so on and so forth there. So that kind of gives you a little bit more information about what it looks like. And then the last image is some of the chemicals which are improperly stored, and that, you know, is still the case. So somebody did not get a
copy. You know, there is nothing you're aware of anywhere near this site, as it's been stated, that's conditional use, or maybe you, ma'am, as the applicant, are up there talking. Do you know of anything that's the closest?
The closest businesses are on Route 9, Route 18, Route 113. And then if you zoom out a little bit further, over where Raccoon Ditch Road comes out onto Asbury Road, just very close to that, there is a used car lot. So other than that, the closest businesses, I mean, Davis Farms is right around the corner from us on Davis Road, but it's an agricultural residential area, so his activities as far as a commercial farm, you know, really don't come into play. But the closest business property would be the used car lot, other than, you know, if people have home businesses that are. Mm-hmm. And, my presentation, I have emailed this to you, but I have amended it, so this is the most recent version.
Okay. Do you have anything else?
Well, I was going to read this.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Just in case you guys didn't have the opportunity, I'll let
you hear it. It's always good to read to us.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity to provide additional information to guide your decision regarding this conditional use request. I understand that you've been provided copies of all the documentation from the commission's evaluation, and I hope that you've reviewed it well. I was disappointed by the commission's recommendation to approve the request for many reasons, and sincerely hope that the council will deny the request. In its reasoning for the approval of CU-2091, the commission stated, the use is situated on a 4.13-acre parcel of land. It is situated among other larger parcels of land. With the conditions and stipulations of approval, the use will not have a negative impact on neighboring properties. Does the commission use the small size of the parcel relative to the size of surrounding parcels to suggest that such a small operation would not detract from the surrounding areas? As I noted in my presentation to the commission, the parcel in our neighborhood community are surrounded for miles in all directions by preserved lands, either farmlands that have been placed in preservation, by timberland that has been named as a state wildlife area, specifically the industrial forest land bar complex, and by the state forest land, specifically the Redden State Forest Day and tunnel tracks. The Glatfelter lands managed as the bar complex cannot be developed in any manner and can be used for very specific agricultural uses. So this area of the county, with the exception of the 12 residential properties of myself and my neighbors, seem to be protected and preserved from development. And I can state with certainty that all of the owners of these properties appreciate the natural setting and most have no interest in any use of their property other than as a home site. The single exception is a small parcel in question. Would the council consider approving a business on a small parcel within Prime Hook Wildlife Refuge? Just because it was only a few acres among the thousands of preserved acres, I think not. We don't have a national refuge or a state park designation, but the area has been preserved, and the argument of taking just a few acres for a business site doesn't make sense. The conditional use does not fit in any way with the surrounding parcels. There are simply no commercial uses of property for miles in all directions. And as again, you know, you can see that with the Google Map images. I've got to take a breath here. The conditional use calls for a contracting office with storage of vehicles, and this sounds innocuous. If you picture A.P. Kroll or Melvin Joseph's main truck lots, these light lots have an office building with neat rows of equipment inside of a fenced area. Unfortunately, this is not how straight line striping is run, at least at this point. Employees simply pull onto the grass at some point in the front of the property. There is an area near the mobile home that is the main parking for work vehicles and trailers, but much of the remaining equipment is spread haphazardly around the remaining site, as you guys have already noted. In addition, three or four derelict vehicles are in two locations on the property. In addition to the coming and going of Will's employees and work trucks, loading and unloading of equipment and supplies, freight deliveries, propane and fuel deliveries, and transitioning days when equipment is switched out, these contribute to a lot of noise and traffic. Burning of pallets and other materials occurs regularly. A trash dumpster is present, but Google Earth image evidence submitted to planning and zoning proves that refuse is not disposed of appropriately. It is not a small, tidy home business as a beauty salon with a few customers arriving throughout the day. And I would note that the most recent burning was on September 17th, Sunday. I also take offense at the commission's statement that the conditional use will not have a negative impact on neighboring properties. It already has had an impact. The business has operated without a conditional use for the last 15 years. And I'd note that in the material that was submitted on with the agenda, that the statement was that it was 10 years, but I'm using 15 years because that's what Mr. Hall has used on his website, his business website. And clearly would not have applied for this conditional use if not for several complaints made to Planning and Zoning Office due to noise, trash burning, and other issues. I would like the council to understand that neighboring landowners have tried to talking to Mr. Hall and his father, the owner of the property, for many years without satisfaction. If I understood stand information from the commission correctly, Mr. Hall would have three more years to come into compliance with any conditions or stipulations ordered by the council unless specific time limits are designated. So it seems that after trying to work with Mr. Hall for over a decade, while he ran his business with impunity outside of the zoning code, he will be rewarded with more time if this use is approved. During this time, we've been told repeatedly by Will Hall that he was moving his business elsewhere. A few years ago, property had been purchased, he said, and the driveway was being prepared so that he would be out within a year. This never occurred. Now, again, Will is telling neighbors that a house is being built now on his 40-acre property, and that by the end of this year, he will have moved his business to this new location, and the manufactured home now on the property will also be removed. And I do have an image. I didn't make copies, but I have an image of his new property. Pass that down.
That's this gentleman here, this young man here?
Yes, it's actually...
That's yours, right?
It's actually in the name of Isabel Cristina Naranjo, I believe his wife. It's listed with a billing address of 17865 Hudson Lane, Georgetown, Delaware. Land use is listed as a farm in Farmland Assessment Act, so he's receiving a tax break on that right now. And it is also zoned agricultural residential.
So he's moving his operation there, which won't be permitted.
Well, that is what he has said, and no use has been applied for that property.
Right.
Let's see. Mr. Hall took one neighbor to a property he supposedly owned, but tax records indicate it's owned by Isabel Cristina Naranjo. This parcel is 1-35. 1527 and is located on Sand Hill Road. A large house and a larger pole building are currently being constructed on the parcel. My reasons for bringing this to the council's attention are simple. If Mr. Hall is currently building a house elsewhere with the intent of moving to that location upon completion of the house, as he has stated several times, why approve this conditional use, permanently opening up this Hudson Lane parcel for commercial use? Mr. Hall has not been trustworthy to us, the neighbors he grew up with. Why should we believe that he intends to comply with any of the conditions and stipulations set by the council? And I believe he's simply buying more time by going through the application process. I have no desire to be placed in the position of having to complain to planning and zoning each time Mr. Hall breaks the conditions set by the council, but I will. And based on Mr. Hall's track record so far, I expect that there will be many violations. And some of the statements made during the meetings are questionable. For example, Mr. Hall stated that he has no intent in growing the business beyond two work trucks, yet he has also reportedly boasted on Facebook that he's planning a large expansion of his business soon. This information comes from a friend of Will's. So which story is correct? And why would he make false statements to a friend? Would he make false statements to a friend or to a governing body? Regardless, no one has made Mr. Hall accountable for his word. And finally, the property on Hudson Lane does not belong to Will Hall. It belongs to his father, William Hall Jr., and Will Hall's mother, Penny Moore Hall. The property was purchased by the Halls in 1995 after a dispute with previous owner, Keith Hudson, when Mr. Hall encroached on Mr. Hudson's land with pond construction. This may be irrelevant, but none of the public discussion to the commission noted this. If Will Hall moves his business, as he's indicated, his father will retain the conditional use and can sell it to someone else so that we will be subjected to this commercial use. Property values are another issue. It is difficult to determine if property values would be negatively impacted by this conditional use unless the adjacent properties are put up for sale. However, properties are devalued when trash, noise, frequent open burning, frequent fuel deliveries, and all of the other commotion of this operation are present. One neighbor is preparing to put their property on the market and is already concerned about the negative impact on the selling price. Do the rest of us need to put our properties on the market to prove what is obvious? You've seen the images of the site, and I know you wouldn't want to live next to this operation. So it clearly impacts our land values. I would also note that this neighbor who is moving would not openly state that they're opposed to the conditional use because of fear of repercussions. I would also add the fact that most of the neighbors have no interest in selling, having lived here most of our adult lives and having planned for decades to retire in a peaceful neighborhood surrounded by nature. This has already been damaged by the last 15 years of growth of this business where it should not have been, and approval will make the situation permanent. My husband and I are particularly greatly impacted by the operation. We built our house well off of Raccoon Ditch Road, and as a result, the location of the main parking, heavy equipment, dumpsters, fuel trucks, and so on, as it exists now, is only about 300 feet through our woods. So we're subjected to noise, migration of their trash and litter onto our property, and the view of their equipment through our woods. The woods are maturing so that the woods have opened up, increasing the unsightly view. And again, one of the images in the group of pictures that I gave you shows you that we are directly through the woods from the main area that Will uses for his business. We have also experienced flooding from the property as explained in my submission to the commission. On one occasion, we found a plastic oil jug jammed into the pipe draining our property under Hudson Lane to keep water from flowing onto the Hall properties. On that occasion, the flooding reached back three properties. It flooded the garden on the Lowe's property, most of our driveway, and the backyard and crawl space of the Knopfs. Fortunately, we haven't experienced this degree of flooding too often, but it happens whenever we experience a significant rainfall. There are obvious issues with drainage on the parcels owned by Mr. Hall, and these will have affected the parking area enough that Will brought in fill. In the recommendations to approve the conditional use, the commission suggested several conditions, and that would be the items A through L that I guess you guys are familiar with at this point. Or maybe I should go through them. The area of conditional use is limited to the first 500 feet from Raccoon Ditch Road. There should not be any outside storage of paint or other vehicles. All lighting should be downward screened. Dumpsters are to be located near the interior of the property and screened from view. Hours of operations limited from 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday, except during snow events. No deliveries before 7 a.m., no signage, designated parking areas, solid screening fence along Hudson Lane, no junk vehicles on site, a limit of 10 personal, employee, and business trucks and vehicles on site at any time, and a review in 3 years. These conditions were, I suppose, intended so that the usage will not have a negative impact on neighboring properties, in the words of the commission. And again, you know, I said, by the way, what is considered a vehicle? All of those tractors and front-end loaders and things of that sort considered vehicles, but, you know, just needs to be clarified. I don't believe that these conditions go far enough to reduce the negative impact, and I remain absolutely opposed to approval of the request. I believe Mr. Hall should be compelled to move his business to a more suitable site. If the council, however, approves this conditional use, I would ask the following specifications in addition to those sent down by the commission. M, all backup beepers should be equipped with a switch and turned off at all times on site. N, employees must report after the 7 a.m. start time. O, a portable toilet should be maintained for employee use as they are often on site all day. P, dumpsters and fuel trucks should be located closer to Raccoon Ditch Road to reduce idling noise during fueling and dumpster pickup, and delivery should be scheduled between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Q, the entire equipment area should be surrounded by screening fence to reduce trash migration and noise. R, screening fence should be 8 foot tall to eliminate the view of most equipment. S, screening fence should be stockade or other solid wood fencing. Fencing designs to blend with surrounding woods and any paint should also enhance blending. T, a buffer zone of mature, non-deciduous trees such as arborvitae or Leland cypress should be planted and maintained around the site to reduce noise to neighboring properties. U, no additional security lights may be installed. V, doors must be installed on the storage shed slash garage and repairs made to the collapsed portion at the rear of the garage. W, pallet recycling service mandated to remove pallets such that no empty pallets are stored on site, and I hope that would reduce the burning. X, burning of refuse on the property should be grounds for revoking the conditional use. Y, DENREC or a reputable organization must assess drainage issues and any recommendations should become required as a condition of approval for this conditional use. Z, all conditions must be in compliance within 3 to 6 months of granting the conditional use. We don't want to wait 3 years. AA, planning and zoning must visit the site regularly on an unannounced basis to review compliance. And BB, planning and zoning should designate a single contact for all violations to be reported. I emphasize that these additional conditions will not remove the impacts of this use for neighbors. I still remain opposed and hope the council will vote to deny the request. And as I've stated before, I wish Will success in his business, but do not believe it should be located here in the middle of a quiet, preserved area. I believe Will's business will continue to grow, and any growth compounds the error of placing it here. And most importantly, denying the request does not shut down Bill's business. You know, I understand that you want to be friendly to business, but he loses nothing but a few days of man hours because he has a much larger property to move to with large pole structure nearing completion. The other parcel is on a heavily traveled road. Several commercial uses are already in place along Sound Hill Road, including the cheer center, a preschool, a retail and commercial greenhouse operation, an airstrip, and numerous large poultry operations, among others. He has not invested in the parcel on Hudson Lane beyond some filled dirt and a small unfinished garage. He does not own the property. The manufactured home in which he currently lives was there 25 years before he moved in. He has not improved the property in the way that the neighbors in the community have over the past 40 years. His equipment and business goodwill leave with him, and the parcel returns to a rental property as it was before Will moved in. Approval, on the other hand, will perpetuate a deteriorating situation, make permanent a commercial operation, place us in the position of policing the operation, and negatively impact our property values. I have included the text from my presentation at the planning and zoning meeting, and it may explain some of the items more clearly. In addition, I've added the text of a small of an email I sent to Janelle Cornwell with additional questions and concerns. Should you wish to request this, blah, 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 you know how to get it.
You've put a lot of time on this.
Yes, we have. It's very important to us.
Okay. Thank you. One thing I would like to clear up, the conditions did not give him 3 years to comply. In fact, it would his compliance would have to take place right away, and it could be revoked if he did not comply with each and every condition.
I guess I was referring, I had the impression that the commission recommended that it be reviewed in 3 years.
It reviews it in 3 years to see if it would be appropriate,
right.
But no, he does not have, that was not to give him 3 years to comply.
Well, that's,
I just wanted to clarify that.
That's great. That certainly improves the situation a little bit.
Okay. So I saw a couple other people. Would you come up, please?
Hi. My name is Barbara Lowe, and my husband and I live right here. And I have letters from ourselves and
we can pass them down.
Our next door neighbor, and he's not able to be here today, but also submitted a letter.
Can I ask a quick question? These lots that were stripped off, was there a minor subdivision? Are you all part of the same kind of minor subdivision from the old days?
Most of us bought our lots relatively the same time. What did you say? We bought ours in 1972, and you were about the same.
Well, I'm just curious if there's similar to any deed restrictions with your lots. That you're aware of, okay.
If you could, because you are on record, could you speak into that microphone?
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
There are no.
Thank you.
No.
Just curious.
And I'm not sure at that time there was an actual minor subdivision plan made up. I think it was just individual strip
just
lots sold off one at a time.
Right, you're right.
Yes.
We were unable to attend the meeting on August 10th regarding Will Hall's request for his father's property to be granted conditional use. We did, however, submit a letter opposing the conditional use request for that property, which I enclosed in your folders. We are appealing to you, my husband and I, to hear our concerns about this property being granted the conditional use approval. So we wouldn't be redundant. We were given permission to use any and all of the CANSAC's letter that was submitted in response to the commission's decision. We agree with everything that Terry CANSAC stated in her letter. There is not too much to add. My husband and I purchased our 10 acres of land on Raccoon Ditch Road in 1972 in hopes of living out our lives in the quiet country. We cleared the land ourselves and built our home. We take pride in our home and try to be good neighbors. We have wonderful neighbors and have been more than tolerant of the business that Will Hall has been conducting here for the last 10 plus years. Again, we are happy that Will Hall's business seems to be very successful, and it's our understanding from Will that he will be leaving the area. Why do we have to be subject to the noise, the garbage, unsightly property, and inconvenience of this business being here when he will not be living here? It is hard for us to believe anything will change on this property. We can only see it getting worse. As is stated in the CANSAC's letter, the land surrounding us is protected from being developed, so why is a busy, noisy, unsightly business allowed to be here? We understand that restrictions would apply, but the best prediction of future behavior is past behavior, and the Halls don't seem to care about the neighbors, or their land wouldn't look like it does. Please help us to continue to enjoy the life that we have worked so hard for. I would ask that you vote against the conditional use for Will Hall's land and not to let one neighbor dictate how the rest of us on Raccoon Ditch Road live our lives. And I have a letter from our neighbors, Gary and Bonnie Walstead, if it's okay if I read that.
Sure.
And they live right here.
Okay.
And they are saying, this letter is in reference to conditional use number 2091 and asking the council to deny the request of William Hall for conditional use of land for office and storage of vehicles on Hudson, excuse me, and Raccoon Ditch Road. We have lived on Raccoon Ditch Road for 40 plus years, whereas we cleared the land, built our home in this peaceful area of Sussex County. More than a few occasions, we have smelled something burning but wasn't sure what the contents were. We also walk and ride bikes with our grandchildren and don't want the additional traffic and noise. This has already begun to bring down our peaceful road. We are in agreement with our neighbors that this is not good for our community. We would have opposed this earlier but did not see the posting. We were out of town on September 19th, but we're sending this letter with other concerned neighbors and ask them to read to the council. Rumor has it that Mr. Hall has purchased property elsewhere and hopefully he can build his business in the same location away from our peaceful neighborhood on Raccoon Ditch Road. Thank you for your time. Gary Walstead, Bonnie Walstead.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And there was one other person that
Yeah, I'm Alex Kansack. I'm Terry's husband. I live on 23141 Raccoon Ditch Road. Just to give you a little bit of history, the property was a roughly 100-acre piece of parcel, and it was divided in narrow, long. It's like 17, like our land, 1,700 feet long by, I have two pieces, so it was at one time like 250 by 1,700, roughly. You know, the odd ones along the ditches are different, but so that was the history of it, and we bought it from, I don't remember, just a realtor that divided it that way, and that is really the only developed area around there. I'm not going to repeat all the stuff my wife said. I guess what really bothers me is this other land that he has, and if you do a search, we did this all with public records, you'll find that the property costs $350,000, the 44 acres, and that under an LLC, he has more properties at the same address out on Sand Hill Road. So he's not just a suffering little businessman, you know, and that's really disturbs me. And there has been fuel. Friday, they were pumping out some kind of fuel tank, and diesel just filled the air, even at my 300 feet away from that house. It's just so many, I don't want to say lies, but it just is disturbing that, you know, like I said,
you
I'm
said,
not going to
You said the fuel hit your house?
What, your no, no, I said the smell. Odor, fumes. I don't know what they were pumping. I keep having this fantasy that they're just moving over to his new place, but I just see a problem. I don't understand. So much of it doesn't make sense why he would do all this, you know, why he would have this new property, tell everybody he's moving. Like, this is my brother-in-law's house right here. I had this 20 acres and I sold my sister 2 acres so that our children could be together. His house is right there. He's had to put up with this all year, for 20 or 22 years, I think they've lived there. Of all this traffic coming in and out, Will has, you know, maintained the road. At first it wasn't that way, and that was the big complaint. But he has two older children in their 20s that work different shifts.
they're always being disturbed by the vehicles, you know, all of us would, sorry. It's just, you know, we, five out of the 12 people that live on that house, including Penny, have retired in the last 4 years, 5 years. We've you know, lived there for 40 years or 30 some years, and we've have this wonderful place, and it's a shame, you know. I don't have anything else to say.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else in opposition? At this point, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. I do want to state one thing. There's quite a bit of the testimony from the opposition about the other place, and what we have to focus on is this application and this property as opposed to other property. And the yes.
There is a way to place a condition on the property that it would expire on his ownership, though, correct?
Typically, a conditional use would survive the ownership. I've never had one that I've seen, and I'd want it, if that was a condition you would consider, I would like to take a look at that and research that.
I haven't reached conclusion, but I think in my planning and zoning world, where we did put conditions on them, that the condition would expire.
You can put time limitations, so, and that is a form of time limitation, so we could look at that.
How about just, I know we've had this occur over the last few years a couple of times, but just so we're all on the same page. The property apparently is not in his name. It's in his father's and mother's name, if this information is correct. But he applied for conditional use.
That is one of the questions I was going to ask Ms. Cornwell. Who signed the application? Was it the father, the applicant here? Did both apply? Or if he applied, did he provide evidence? Did he apply as a lessee?
The owner on the application says Penny Hall, and she is the one who signed the application.
Okay.
And is that what the assessment records show as the owner?
Yeah, William and Penny Hall are on the tax record, so she has the ability to sign
okay.
on the application.
Yeah. Okay, and if council desires, we can close the public record as well.
We can close public hearing. If it's okay with council, close public record. Does anybody have anybody feel a need to defer this, or you want to deal with it now?
We had a lot of literature in my hand today. So I guess we ought to defer it.
I mean, you had a question of Mr. Moore. He can answer it now, obviously. So
I would like to know if there is a, if in fact the applicant is planning to move, is there a way to put a condition on this application that if he moves, it would expire, right? So that it wouldn't be a perpetual conditional use, like we had with the landscaping thing, right?
But there's a question. No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, is the conditional use being given to Mrs. Hall, Penny Hall?
Yeah.
Or to Will Hall? If she's the owner of the property, we're giving it to Penny Hall, who will still maintain the property, so the conditional use can still be operated by right. her husband or anybody as long as she's the owner of the property. So right. It's a little tricky there, folks.
And then the second thing, maybe for a reason, is it possible to see a site plan prior to a decision? Well, I can't tell what's going on.
Part of a final site plan takes in consideration all the conditions you place on, because they have to be enumerated. Part of the zoning application, they're supposed to file some kind of drawing or other a document that shows where things are placed.
Yeah, there was a survey that was submitted as part of the application, and it just showed the existing manufactured home and an existing metal building on the property.
Right. Okay, so it did not show where things are, where they would propose.
No, it was I would consider it an existing property survey.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we could, gentlemen, we could hold, gentlemen, I'm sorry, I didn't get it all the way out.
They called him Joan, yeah.
I lost my train of thought. No. We could leave the record open and ask the applicant to provide us with a conceptual layout, a plan of what he intends to do with the property, because when I look at these pictures, it's all over the place. There's no plan. And I'm just, again, shocked that a guy would come here in front of us to try to get some approval and still have the place look like such and such. So we could leave the record open and let him provide us more information to try to win us over, because I still say we need to have the bar high for him to get in a commercial activity in a residential thing. And then I'm concerned about the ownership and the conditional use surviving after he's gone. And it is, again, just continues to fester as a problem.
My concern with leaving the record open for the purpose of having the applicant to provide further drawings, at that point, if we do that, we're going to have to leave the record open then for the public to be able to respond to that and to look at that. And I think, you know, traditionally the step has been, if you are inclined to grant this, you be very specific on where things have to be so they get drawn on that final site plan.
In addition, I would say that, Mr. President, if I may, two thoughts. Number one would be putting a time frame on ball in this. Right? So one has to be held accountable for what the approval is within a certain timeline. I think number two is I would have a question with respect to let's hear, which one is it? I'm trying to find a letter. It is outdoor burning. Which letter is that one? Was that a condition?
J.
J. There it is. What's the current code permit?
Well, it's more. There's a DENREC.
What does DENREC permit on a 4-acre parcel?
The burning ban's been in effect since spring sometime.
Right, and then you're limited on certain types of burns, even agricultural burns. You can't do within certain time periods.
Burning bans.
I'm just wondering, I mean, if that's in here, are we even permitted? I don't know if we are or are not permitted to even put that in there, but they have to follow whatever the DENREC rule is, right?
They have whatever DENREC regs are concerning burn bans and burning regulations.
But my point is, do we have the authority to put that in here?
Yeah.
As a condition?
We have the authority to put it in, but if there's another regulation that's stricter, that gets enforced.
You can't get.
Well, there's nothing stricter than no burning at all.
Right, that's pretty strict. But anyway, if there's some concern about doing something for this applicant, and you don't think the conditions are sufficient, then we need to defer. If you're comfortable or got problems with it, we could just deal with it right now. So
I think Mr. Wilson would like to defer it. Well, that, time to look at all the information we've gotten and look at the pictures, look at all the whatever, read over again, want to, whatever.
I don't make a motion to do that.
Mr. Wilson has a motion to defer. Anybody second that motion?
Yeah, we'll second it.
Mr. Cole seconds the motion.
Give him the benefit of that. I think IG had.
Any questions on that? Now yeah, we'll take the vote. Up
the I was just going to say, how long? I mean, what's the timeline?
Well, we didn't say how long. We look at it and read through it, and then we'll
get put back on when we get
everybody feels comfortable with it. We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlen.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. We have deferred it. Next